بل نحمدك ونستعينك ونستغفرك ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا وسيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد yesterday our discussions was from Babu La Yastawfiri Abihi Al-Mushrik La Yastawfiri Abihi Al-Mushrik The Bab we get a report that La Yastawfiri Abihi Al-Mushrik The Muslim man is prohibited from asking Allah's mercy and forgiveness upon his non-Muslim father or mother. لا يستغفر لأبيه المشرك. It is not lawful for a Muslim to ask forgiveness and Allah's pardon and mercy for a parent that is a non-Muslim. And we had the account of Abdullah ibn Abbas on the next chapter. I think it is appropriate to mention to us that the major evidence regarding this issue is that verse in Surah At-Tawbah. The major evidence regarding this issue that the Muslim must not ask Allah's forgiveness and pardon for a non-Muslim parent is that verse in Surah At-Tawbah where Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ ولو كانوا يقول من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. We explained the past yesterday. Likewise, that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meeting with Abu Talib, his paternal uncle, actually the shaykh of his father. Remember that Abu Talib, the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is Shaqiq of Abdullah, is the same father and mother of Abdullah, the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was about to die, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adjured him severally to accept Islam, but he refused. He followed the advice of Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah. Fortunately for Abdullah did accept Islam on the day of Fathul Makkah and became a Muslim and died upon Islam, but the next person wasn't. So this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La astaghfiranna laka ma lam unha ank, I would ask Allah to forgive you as long as I have not been prohibited to do so. If I'm prohibited to do so, then otherwise I'll ask Allah to forgive you and then this verse came. So you will see that this verse, Ma kana lin-nabiyyi walladhina amanu, is a major proof in this matter. The second major proof in this matter is the ijma' consensus of the ummah, the scholars of the ummah, that al-Imam al-Nawawi has referred to. Al-Imam al-Nawawi mentions that the Ummah is agreed upon the fact that a Muslim child should not ask Allah for his compassion and forgiveness to a non-Muslim father. It is very, very important to always know the major proof in every issue. May Allah forgive all of us and make us die upon Islam. Those of our brothers, as we begged Allah yesterday, who have parents who are killed upon other than Islam, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them onto Islam. That dua itself is one of the major things we must do. So having understood that we cannot beg Allah to forgive parents and near relatives or friends who die upon other than Islam, tabayyana lana annahu ashabul jahim. Those that it has become clear to us that they are from the people of Jahim, we are from the people of the blazing fire. It became clear to us because they died upon Shirk, confirm that we cannot ask Allah to forgive them, because Allah continuously assures us that He will not forgive them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So what then can a child, how then can a child relate with non-Muslim parents? How does he benefit non-Muslim parents? If a boy or a girl Muslim has parents who are non-Muslims, how does he gain from being walidain? Being walidain is a major act of worship as far as the Muslim's life is concerned. But the Muslim now has parents or a parent who happens to be a non-Muslim. How does he benefit from these non-Muslim parents? Or how does he benefit from being walidain regarding these non-Muslim parents or parents? Allah protect us all. How does the Muslim benefit? So Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed it with the chapter Babu Birri Walidi Mushrik. Babu Birri Walidi Mushrik. The chapter regarding being dutiful to the non-Muslim parents. The chapter about being dutiful to the non-Muslim parents. Since we have said no, part of dutifulness to non-Muslim parents must not involve asking Allah to forgive them. So the next thing is, how then does the Muslim child, how does he benefit the non-Muslim parents who are either alive or who pass away? May Allah forgive all of us and make us better children for our parents, which requires a lot of love. So under this chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has book and hadith, and he said, rahimahullah, al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ يُوسُفُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِسْرَائِيلُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سِمَاكُ عَنْ مُسْعَبِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ عَنْ أَبِيهِ سَعْدٍ بْنِ أَبِي وَقَاصٍ قَالَ نَزَلَتْ فِيَّ أَرْبَعُ آيَاتٍ من كتاب الله تعالى. كانت أمي حلفت أن لا تأكل ولا تشرب حتى أفارق محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فأنزل الله وإن جاهدك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. والثانية أني كنت أخذت سيفا أعجبني فقلت يا رسول الله هب لي هذا. فنزلت يسألونك عن الأنفال. والثالثة أني مرضت فأتاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله إني أريد أن أقسم مالي أفأوصي بالنصف؟ فقال لا. فقلت الثلث. فسكت. فكان الثلث بعده جائزا. والرابعة إني شربت الخمر مع قوم من الأبصار فضرب رجل منهم أنفي بلحم جمل فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأنزل عز وجل تحريم الخمر. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from الشيخ محمد بن يوسف. And الإمام محمد بن يوسف is أبو عبد الله الفريابي. الإمام محمد بن يوسف, his name is أبو عبد الله الزكريا الفريابي. This hadith has been reported by الإمام البخاري from الشيخ محمد بن يوسف الفريابي. And he reported the hadith from إسرائيل بن يونس ابن أبي إسحاق السبيعي. إسرائيل ابن يونس ابن أبي إسحاق السبيعي. الإمام أبو إسحاق السبيعي was a great scholar of hadith. He had a child, Yunus, who was also a great scholar of hadith. Yunus had a child whose name was إسرائيل. So this إسرائيل, his name is إسرائيل ابن يونس ابن أبي إسحاق السبيعي. رحمه الله. They were all scholars of hadith. قال حدثنا سماك. سمات المصري فارس الإمام سمات بن حرب رحمه الله زوارد تعدل سمات بن حرب is reporting this hadith for Mus'ab ibn Sa'd. Mus'ab is the son or one of the children of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the companion who has reported this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Mus'ab ibn Sa'd, and Sa'd himself is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is very, very popularly known as Ibn Abi Waqqas, but Abu Waqqas, his name is Malik ibn Uhayb. Abu Waqqas is Malik ibn Uhayb. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uhayb. But you know, popularly referred to him as Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So Abu Waqqas is Malik ibn Uhayb. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is the reporter of this hadith. He is an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the most learned among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is among the people who we the Muslims have as our leaders. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is from our leaders. As Muslims, we have 10 things, we have many things and virtues, but 10 of them for which each of them, every human being must look forward to having. Malik, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uhayb, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abu Ishaq, radiallahu anhu, he has only 10 things that for which each of them they are things that for which an individual will sit down and begging Allah to do for. Things that when an individual has them, he is counted as successful and fortunate in this world. The first of these is that Kana min al-Sadiqeen al-Awwaleen. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas happens to come from among the Sadiqeen al-Awwaleen, the first and the foremost people who accepted Islam. He ranks between the first 50. In some reports, it's mentioned to be about the third or the fourth person who accepted Islam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So when Allah was saying that As-Sadiqeen al-Awwaleen min al-Muhajirin al-Ansar wal-Ladheena ittaba'uuhum bi-ihsan radiyallahu anhum, you should know that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas occurs in this hadith radiyallahu anhum. He is from amongst the people that Allah is praising by the verse of the Quran. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is from amongst the Sa'd ibn al-Awwaleen. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the first person who shot an arrow fi sabilillah. أولي من رمى سهلا في سبيل الله سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه the first person who shot an arrow in the jihad in the path of Allah was سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه and then سعد بن أبي وقاص was from amongst the Muhajirin he made hijrah from Mecca to Medina and you know the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had told us that الهجرة تهدم ما قبلها. Hijra cancels every negative thing that a person would have done before he made the hijra. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was from among the Sadiqeen al-Awwaleen. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the first person who shot an arrow on the path of Allah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas made hijra from Mecca to Medina. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas fought in the Battle of Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us that وَمَعِذِيكَ لَعَلِّ اللَّهُ طَلَى عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ جَدْرِينَ فقال اجعلوا ما شئتم قد غفرت لكم. That the people of Badr have been forgiven their sins. We know the hadith. The hadith of Ibn Abi Balta'a, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has said that those who participated in the Battle of Badr, radiallahu anhum, the 313 of them, they are from amongst the people regarding whom Allah says, do what you like, I have forgiven you. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was from amongst them. Unfortunately, he participated in all the battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas fought all the battles along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was also fortunate to have been mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وسلم to be from among the people of Al-Jannah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that he will enter Al-Jannah. This his son Mus'ab, who has reported this hadith from him, was the same son that Sa'd died while he was in his hands. Mus'ab ibn Sa'd was the one who was carrying Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas when Sa'd passed away. Sa'd passed away at age 82, radiallahu anhu. He lived so long. We'll come back to it, inshallah, when we come into this story fully. Allah blessed Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with a long life. He lived for 82 years, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him that he will enter Al-Jannah. Before Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas passed away, Mus'ab ibn Sa'd was carrying his father, and he started to cry when he saw that the father was about passing away. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas asked his son Mus'ab, "My kid, what makes you cry?" He said, "Daddy, your condition. You are almost there. It appears that the time has come." You know what the child would say in this circumstance. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas told him, "Don't cry. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ الْعَذَابَ because Allah will not forgive me. فَأَنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ I am from the people of Al-Jannah." Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was able to say this because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him the glad tidings that he will enter Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu. So it's very fortunate. Also Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, he was fortunate to have avoided the fitna. He avoided the fitna amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At those who came after that, he was not engaged in fitna. He went to a castle he had built. He had a castle that was 7 miles away from Medina. He went there and stayed there till he passed away. Radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Also Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was stupendously rich. He was a stupendously rich companion. Radiallahu anhu. And Allah also blessed Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with a lot of children. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had 17 boys and 10 girls. Radiallahu anhu. He had 17 boys and 10 girls. And then the man is ashore of Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu. And then his Mujahid Da'wah, his Tajahid Da'wah, is the person who, when he makes dua, Allah accepts the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, "Allah, O Allah, Allah, answer whatever the supplication Sa'd does when he supplicates to you, answer his supplications." So these are for God to believe that he can go on talking about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. His name is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uqayl, Abu Ishaq, Al-Qurashi, radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, "Nazalat fiyya arba'u ayatun min kitabillah." So we'll go on to explain this hadith before we come back to take the points of benefit, inshallah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, he said, "Nazalat fiyya arba'u ayatun min kitabillah." 4 verses from the book of Allah, "Nazalat fiyya arba'u ayat." 4 verses. Min kitabullah ta'ala, from Allah's book, came down regarding me. And the first of them was that كانت أمي حلفت ألا تأكل ولا تشرب حتى أفارق محمدا. My mother had vowed never to eat ولا تشرب and never to drink حتى أفارق محمدا, until I abandon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was born with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like we said, he is from amongst the Sabiqun al-Awwalin, from the first persons who accepted Islam. And he was just about 19 years when he accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu. So he was always in the company of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he used to be a very diligent and beautiful child to his parents. But his mother, however, said she will never eat nor drink unless Sa'd abandons the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah revealed the verse in Surah to Luqman that Allah said, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ الشرك بما ليس لك به علم. If they make efforts compelling you, adjuring you, Allah to shirk be, that you should join partners with Allah or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma laysa laka bihi ilmu, even in the matters that are not clear to you, not to say matters that are clear to you, fala tuti'huma, do not follow them, but still wasahibhuma fi dunya ma'rufa. You should still follow, be in their company. You should still be dutiful to them. You should still show kindness and compassion to them in the dunya regarding other affairs of the dunya. Sadiq Nabi Waqqas said, this verse was revealed regarding me when my mother tried to compel me to follow her upon shirk. I will come back to this, inshallah. Wasaniya to Ali, come to our house to say, Santa Ajadani. The second verse was that, I have taken from the Ghanima, from the bounties of war. When the Muslims go to a battle, a jihad with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the things that Allah gives to them is that they are able to come back with booty, they are able to come back with bounties, they are able to come back with Ghanima. And these Ghanima will be gathered and then later distributed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sa'd said, radiallahu anhu, come to our house to Saifan Ajadari. He found a sword that attracted him. He was impressed with the sword. So he took the sword, radiallahu anhu, fakutu ya Rasulallah. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I had taken this sword. Have me had it. Give me this sword as a gift. And I realized, yes, Ali Natal al-Anfar. And then Allah revealed the verse, the fourth verse of Surah al-Anfar. Yes, Ali Natal al-Anfar. You will be asked to be given the Anfar. You will be asked to be given from the spoils of war. You will be asked to be given from the bounties of war. Anfar is the plural of Al-Natal. Al-Natal is referring to the Ghanima. So you will be asked regarding the ruins of the Ghanima, or you will be asked to be given from the Ghanima. That is what that verse, the ulama have explained it to be. Wasalithatu, the third incident about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set down a law, and that has to do with me, Anni Maritu. It was that I was ill. فأتاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to me. فقلت يا رسول الله. I said, Messenger of Allah, إني أريد أن أقسم مالي. I want to distribute my wealth because the illness was very, very severe. صار ابن أبي وقاص fell very ill when they made حجة الوداع. So the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that illness happened right in Mecca, the place from where they had made Hijra. The companions hated that they passed away in Mecca because they had already made Hijra away from Mecca. So why would they want to pass away in Mecca? So he felt bad that this illness might take away his life. And he is very, very ill. At that time, during Hajjatul Wada, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas only had a single beta, and he was still tremendously rich. So he wanted to give away his wealth in charity so that he has more rewards from the charity, and it will not mean that the entirety of his wealth will be inherited by his only brother that he had, radiallahu anhu. So he wanted to give the wealth. He made wasiyah to the Prophet. He gave a will to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the wealth, to touch of the wealth, be given to those who may make the wealth. So the Prophet began to bring it down until Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said he will give one third of the wealth. He said, he mentioned two thirds, he mentioned half of the wealth, and then he mentioned one third of the wealth. When he mentioned one third of the wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-sulus, one third, was-sulus kathir, and one third is much. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas took this statement that one third is much. The Prophet did not reject one third. So that was why in this report, Saad ibn Abi Waqqas said, "Fa'fakata," meaning that the Prophet did not reject one third. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "One third is much." So one third is much but permissible. Meaning that a better thing to do is that what we will to people at the point of death must not be more than one third, but it is better to be less than one third. It is better to be less than one third. People like Abdullah ibn Abbas suggested to us that it should be one third, that is a quarter of it, or even less. Abdullah ibn Siddiq used to give a fifth, one over five. So as to be far away from what the Prophet had mentioned to be much, even though he did not reject it. So because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reject one third, فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ بِسَدْ فَفَكَتَ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reject one third. فَكَانَ السُّلُسُ بَعْدَهُ جَعِزَ After that incident, it became permissible to give one third. It became permissible to give one third, and that has to do with me. Radiallahu anhu. وَالرَّابِعَ The fourth incident was that إِنِّي شَرِبْتُ الْخَمْرَ مَا قَوْمٍ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ I used to drink alcohol. At that time, the rulings regarding alcohol had not been decisive. Alcohol had not been very clearly prohibited in the Sharia of Islam at that time, in the early days of the Muslims in Medina. So he said, in me, Sharitul Khamra ma qawmi min al-ansar. Saad ibn Abi Waqqas said, I had taken alcohol, I consumed alcohol ma qawmi min al-ansar, along with some of the people amongst the Ansar. In some other reports, there were Muhajirun on that level. There were also Ansars on that level. Muhajirun, those who had migrated from Makkah to Medina, they were on that level. There were also those who were residents of Medina amongst the companions, the Ansar. They were also in that level. However, one of the original name of Anfi Bilahi Jamali. It happened that one of the Ansar hit my in some reports, my nose. He hits my name, Bilahi Jamalin, with the jaw of a camel, the jaw bone of a camel, the dry jaw bone of a camel. He broke it, and he hit my name with it. Suddenly, the horse was bleeding. What happened? They had consumed alcohol. And you know what that means? Alcohol is the mother of alcohol. In the hadith of Abu Dhar, what did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, salat, wala tashraban al-khamra. Do never consume alcohol. This is from the narrations that definitely prohibit alcohol. Apart from that verse in the Quran. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is the asif fa'innahu umma shari, aslu shari kulli. It is the basis, the foundation for every evil that you would find. Anything can happen once a man consumes alcohol. So that Ansar consumed alcohol. An argument ensued between the Ansar and the Muhajirun. And then he attacks Saad ibn Abi Waqqas with the jawbone of a camel and gave him a bleeding nose. Radiallahu anhu. فَأَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ I came with my nose to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At 6 hours, he was still very reasonable, even despite the fact that at the time the people used to be allowed to take alcohol. He was still very reasonable to bring the matter to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَنْزَلَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ تَحْرِيمَ الْخَمْرِ Consequently, Allah revealed the verse that finally abrogated and prohibited the consumption of alcohol. We know that that in Surah Al-Ma'idah in verse 90, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansar wal-aslam rijsun min amali shaytan fajtanibuhu. This is the verse. This is the prohibiting expression. Avoid these things that I have counted. Al-Khamru, Al-Quran, Wal-Maisiru, gambling, Wal-Ansar, slaughtering on an altar, Wal-Aslam, employing arrows to determine laws. Said from the back, from the evening, laws of Shaitan. Avoid them. And then Allah mentioned other things regarding alcohol. Inna ma yuridu shaytan an yuqiya baynakum al-adawa wal-baghdaa fi al-khamri wal-maisir wa yasuddakum an dhikrillahi wa an as-salah. And the rest of the issues regarding alcohol occur between verse 18 and 85 in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So it is one of the circumstances by which that verse on the prohibition of alcohol became revealed was this incident that happened to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. But the point of reference was Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned this hadith under this chapter heading is the fact that the child still needs to be dutiful to the parents when even the parents are from amongst the non-Muslims, whether they are mushriku or they are kuffar. So we go back to the beginning of hadith and begin to take forms of benefit. Inshallah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Mubarak ibn Uhayl radiallahu anhu said, نَزَلَتْ فِيَّ أَرْبَعُ آيَاتٍ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ لَهُ. This is a thing of virtue and excellence that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is mentioning regarding himself. So ulama say that if you have a thing of virtue, something that Allah has honored you with, it can be mentioned. If mentioning it amongst the people does not lead to self-importance and arrogance. More so, if mentioning it will be a thing of benefit. As Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas mentioning what's happened is a thing of benefit for all those who heard it and for the rest of us till today. If you have a thing of benefit that which when you mention it, it will perhaps help the rest of the people upon the path of piety, it is not unlawful, it is lawful for us to mention such things. We have many such examples amongst the companions radiallahu anhu. One of these was of Sa'd himself radiallahu anhu. I think we should come back to that hadith. And that hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari when he said, Awwalu ana awwalu man rama sahman fi sabilillah. It was Sa'd who said so. Sa'd said, I was the first person who shot an arrow on the path of Allah. He was the one who said it regarding himself when he was accused by the people that he does not know how to accept Salah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was accused by the people who really don't know how to accept Salah. And they reported him to Umar over there. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas does not know how to accept Salah. When Sa'd was called to respond to this issue, Sa'd said, I was the first person who shot an arrow on the path of Allah. In front of Umar ibn Abdullah. I was from among the first person. I was the third of the first person who accepted Islam. At the time we accepted Islam, we were the prophet. He mentioned himself that we used to eat from the grasses on the streets. Because we did not find food to eat, we were boycotted. And when we passed through our stool, I felt like the stool of animals, domestic animals. We were patient with the religion, we were patient with the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I started to mention to the things regarding himself and the sacrifices regarding himself. He mentioned them so that he could say, and he actually said it at the end of that hadith, if after all these cases, all these sacrifices for religion, I cannot observe Salah correctly, then I am at a loss. I have lost existence. If after all these things, I cannot observe Salah correctly. The point of purpose why we mention this today is that sometimes the individual will need to mention the things of virtue, either in the religion or in the matters of this dunya that Allah has blessed him with, either by way of recognizing the sinners of Allah, or by way of pressing home a fact that needs to be pressed home regarding those past events or regarding those things of virtue that Allah has. A lot of these amongst the early Muslims. I think we can leave this and proceed, inshallah. There are a lot of it. We have a similar case with Ka'b ibn Malik when he was left behind in the Ghazwa of Tabuk. Very lengthy hadith in the book of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Qad ibn Malik said, I am a person who is always able to convince my listening party in a discussion, but he was not able to tell the prophet other than the truth. You see, he was mentioning a virtue regarding himself. I can talk, I can engage everybody in a discussion. I can convince the next person about what I want. But I can't tell the Prophet that what has happened. But we are not one. So it's allowed sometimes when it is needed, especially to run into one or to express a fact if a person mentions things of virtues that Allah has done to him. In this case, the virtue that Allah has blessed in Nabi records with care is that regarding him, that is what the Quran has been revealed. Radiallahu anhu. It's a big thing of virtue for Sa'd Nabi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. And the first of these incidences that he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, was regarding him and his mother. He said, كانت أمي حلفت أن لا تأكل ولا تشرب حتى أفارق محمدا. My mother had vowed that she would never eat food, neither would she ever drink until أفارق محمدا, until I abandon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In other reports of that hadith, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, come to Rajul al-Barran bi Ummi. I used to be a man, or I was a man who was very, very dutiful to my mother. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمْتُ قَالَتْ. When I became a Muslim, my mother said, مَا هَذَا الدِّينُ الَّذِي أَحْدَثْتَ. What is this new religion that you people have come with? This is a common expression that we hear from parents. When you have a brother who is not be serious with his Islam, he perhaps did not use to observe Salah. He slept as he liked, he ate what he liked, he behaved in whichever way he liked. He was careless and nonchalant about his religion. By the time he becomes a bit serious about his religion and begins to take the matters of his religion serious, he begins to observe his Salah regularly, and he begins to take to the acts of Sunnah to protect his obligations. You can start hearing some of the parents, some of the friends, some uncles start to say, what is this new religion that you have brought? What is this new religion you have brought? We should all understand that it is not a strange thing. The mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said to Sa'd, Ma hadha ad-din alladhi ahdathta. What is this new religion that you have come to bring? La tad'alna dinaka hadha. You'd better abandon this year religion. Out la aqulu wa la ashrabu hatta amut. Otherwise, I will not eat and I will not drink until I will die. She wanted to put pressure on Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the child who had loved his mother. She was invoking the emotional inclinations children have for their mother to die. I will stop eating food and I will stop drinking water until I will die. For you, I will be, and then you will be abused for my sake. For you cause it to be said that you are popular in me, only who killed his mother. The mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said she will not eat, she will not drink, she will pass away. So that Sa'd will be abused to be a boy who has caused the death of his mother. We hear similar things from parents today. If you find a little young girl who is not be serious with her religion, by the time she begins to become serious with her religion, you begin to hear these kinds of statements from parents. I will stop eating food, I will stop drinking food, you should not talk to me again, and then everybody will be abusing you that you are not a good girl, and 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 you are not a good girl. As for me, I will not leave La Adaruddin Hada Mishayin. I will not leave this my religion for any reason. In some report, it said that she said, Allah is the Prophet Allah who will give it. Are you not the one who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has committed for you, for me, commanded you to be beautiful to your parents? We hear this also from parents today. If you find a girl who begins to wear hijab, covering herself as Allah has ordained, you find parents saying that, has Allah not commanded you that you should obey me as your mother? Has Allah not commanded you that you should obey me as your father? When the child answers, yes, I am your father. Exactly this statement, the mother of that said. In another report, he says, Zahanta Allah wa sakadu wa libet. You are claiming that Allah has commanded you to be dutiful to the two of your parents. فَأَنَا أُمُّكَ أَمْ يَنَدَ وَأَنَا أَمُوكَ بِهَذَا And I'm not commanding you to do this, so do it. Yet Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was not willing to follow the mother of man, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that he was a dutiful child, he was a compassionate and merciful child to his parents. Sa'd said in a report, radiallahu anhu, فَعَلَمِينَ وَاللَّهِ يَعُوكَ Mommy, you know something? Now I'm lucky. We are to accept if you have 100 souls. For how I get less than Tassa. And each of these 100 souls begin to come out of you one after the other. Ma talk to be me, Hala. I will not leave this my religion. This is clear-cut evidence that, one, it is wrong for parents to demand that the children should follow them upon a disobedience to Allah. It is wrong. And that it is not right for children, it is not from dutifulness to children that the children should follow their parents in the way of obeying the parents. It is not correct for parents to command the children not to obey Allah. By way of interpreting that to mean obedience to them. Very recently I have an experience, similar experience. Someone said to me that the Bible said, if you do this, if you wear hijab like this, you will disobey me. How does wearing hijab to obey Allah translate into disobedience to father or disobedience to mother? These are just the kinds of the statements that the mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was making. How does disobedience to Allah become obedience to you? So I will disobey Allah, but I should obey you. And you are the same person saying that the child should obey you. You are saying that Allah commanded the child to obey you. So Allah commanded the child to disobey him, but obey you. This is not correct. So it is wrong for parents to agitate that their children obey them while they only think disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not from dutifulness to parents. Dutifulness to parents is to obey the parents and be dutiful to them no matter their circumstance. Whether they are shukur, whether they are kafir, whether they are Muslims, the child has a duty to be dutiful to the parents. But the problem is that the parents or dutifulness to the parents must not involve disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who in the first place was the one who had commanded the child to be dutiful to parents? This point is very, very important regarding the matters of dutifulness to parents. So while the mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas continued to pressurize Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was not following, he was not following the mother, Allah revealed the fact to affirm the correctness of the position of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Allah said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Do not follow them when they adjure you, when they push you, when they terrorize you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either by committing shirk or sin. Lesser than that, Allah said, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا But what you need to do is, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا This is the point of reference why this hadith has come under this chapter heading. Despite the fact that the parents may be mushrik, the parents may be kafir, they may be people who are of ways other than Islam, the child has a duty by obligation to still be nice to the parents, to still be compassionate to the parents, to still be dutiful to the parents. Many of the scholars of Islam have explained this matter. Despite the fact that the child may be a Muslim and the parents will be non-Muslims, the duty of being dutiful to parents is still obligatory on that child. Dutifulness to parents is still obligatory on that child. The limiting factor is that it must not involve disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Do not follow them when they adjure you to commit sins. Very suddenly, the brother approached me and said, he said his mother had visited some people upon Sahir and magic who had told her that the boy was not successful and that he needed to be more successful than that. So they did a few things and asked him to do a sacrifice. The brother rejected. The mother is pressurizing the brother to do that and the brother is rejecting. The brother now asked me and said, but the mother is saying that, are you not the one who come to say that you are only a religion that has commanded you to obey your mother? The brother said, he answered in the affirmative, yes, our religion and the sunnah we practice encourage us to obey our parents. But it does not encourage us to obey them in any way when it has to do disobedience to Allah. So the mother was invoking that soft spot the child has for the parents to command the child to disobedience to Allah. The same thing the mother of God is not more accustomed to. And it's not big. Allah says, Allah to pray, do not follow the parents in this circumstance. There are a lot of examples. When we are younger than this university, we have a lot of examples. Cases where parents, we have people where the children do not pass exams, they begin to consult people who are upon sahir and magic, and then they adjure children to do this kind of things. It's of course, when the child, you know, a sister wants to get married, recently a mother was still saying that his father was insisting upon a name. I think that was the question I had yesterday. His brother, his father was insisting upon a name because they had gone to ask about that name to know whether that name was suitable for the day that the child was born. These kinds of practices are things upon which the parents must not be aware. From the things that occurring parents pressurize children to follow them are on the day of Nikah, Walima to Nikah, a sister is wearing a jilbab covering the entirety of her body. And then on the day of Jilbab, the parents say, look, you have allowed you on all the rest of your life to wear your jilbab. But today is a day for us. You must wear the clothes that we want. They begin to pressurize the brother. Some of the sisters fell prey to this dangerous deceit of Shaitan. They say they want to obey their parents, even if it be one day. They say they want to follow those parents, even when it became clear to those sisters that what we invite them to do is an act of disobedience. They say, no, we want to follow them on that single day. What I have personally found out is that some of those sisters too have diseases in their mind. We want to be like the rest of their friends. We want to satisfy the people of the day of Walima. On the day when the entirety of the issues of marriage should be based on obedience to Allah, by way of seeking good women for that marriage, so when you disobey Allah on the day of your marriage, what are you expecting of the marriage? You don't know the marriage is disobedient to Allah. The sisters should not be falling prey to these kinds of invitations from parents who didn't mean just for today. Okay, you are saying I should disobey Allah. That the child should not fall prey to it. The child should not fall prey to parents pressurizing them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that the parents should be obeyed, but he has left a limiting factor that those parents should not be obeyed as long as when the obedience to those parents involve disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Imam al-Bukhari had mentioned this hadith. The rest of the other benefits in it is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said to him that Kuntu a'atu saifan a'jabani faqultu ya Rasulallah adli hada fanazalat ya yas'alunaka 'anil anfal. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas took a sword from the bounties of war he had gathered. Before he made it to become his own, he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, give me this word as a gift. This makes us understand that I can gather that has not been distributed. It is not lawful for any person to take from public wealth before the public wealth is distributed. It is not lawful for any individual to take from public wealth before public wealth is distributed. So if truly there are palliatives and there are more palliatives assessing our own case, these things were received from a particular corpus of government and it is still in the government. It has not been distributed. It is not lawful for a Muslim to take from public wealth that has not been distributed. Taking from public wealth that has not been distributed is from the major sense in Islam. It is part of the Kabbalah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about it in the Quran and Allah in the Quran. It says, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَنْ يَقُولَ. It is not lawful for any messenger of Allah and Yahweh to take from property before it is distributed or to cheat regarding public property. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَقُولَ يَأْتِي بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. مَنْ يَقُولَ whoever steals from public wealth, he will carry those bags of rice. He will carry those bags of semolina on his neck on the day of Qiyamah. Whoever steals from public wealth before that public wealth is distributed, Islam prohibits it. Islam prohibits taking from public wealth before it is distributed. People will have notification. Yes, we are not taking distributed to us. The point is that it has not been distributed. And the Sharia says, taking from public wealth is part of guru. Guru. In the case of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when the Lord impressed him, what did he do? He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Messenger of Allah, give me this one. Hadha. Give me this adjective. Give me this word. You did not take it away because it will remain guru. This is a clear contrast from the Quran. And the Ahadith we are in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is said to be Adil. The Adil. He may place himself a companion died during the battle. But he had taken something very, very small from the believer. He had given it to himself. When everybody was saying that he is Shariq, he is Shariq, he is Shariq, the Prophet said he was not Shariq, he had taken away something from him. Someone that is as huge as dying on the path of jihad. He died on the path of jihad. Behind the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Yes, because he had taken something away from public property before he was distributed, the Prophet said it should be in the fire. Gulun is a serious taking stance. And after that, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him, Allah bless Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with long life. He lived for over 45 years after that incident when he had thought that he was going to die. And then Allah blessed him with 17 boys and 9 girls, in addition to the one girl that he had had. He lived long and then he was too great of age. Or he was not one good. So regarding this case, he said as soon as he was allowed, that the person when he was at long years on the deathbed is allowed for him to wheel out a third of his property. The ruling came from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The ruling regarding the parents came regarding Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The ruling regarding Ansar taking from public property, it came from, with permission of the government itself, came from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The ruling regarding Asulis inheritance will, taking a part of the will, wheeling out a part of our property, it also came regarding Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And the first thing that came regarding Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is the ruling regarding alcohol. He was beaten with the jawbone of a camel. He had a bleeding nose. He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah revealed about, okay, it's enough, alcohol should stop, nobody should drink alcohol. It is from the evil deeds of Shaitan, that when you do, everybody must avoid drinking alcohol. Don't forget, the point of reference in this hadith is that we should treat nice boys, nice children, nice girls to our parents, even if these parents are from the people of Shirk. The fact that we have been prohibited from praying for them, asking Allah's forgiveness for them when they pass away, it does not mean that we should not be nice to them in the matters of this dunya. And then that from giving rising to parents, who are many things is that this boy, this girl, Muslim, make efforts on your parents so that they are able to come out on the platform of Islam. Make efforts, make good efforts that they are able to come to the platform of Islam. Inshallah, in our next class, we'll be reading the hadith of Asma' bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq when his mother offered to visit him. Just by the fact that she was upon Kufr, Ubayla bint Abdul Izza. Just by the fact that she was upon Kufr, she offered to visit Asma' bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, and the Prophet still allowed her to visit Asma' bint Abi the limiting verses regarding this, inshallah, we will read it when we come on that hadith, the hadith of Asma ibn Abi Siddiq, which is a hadith that follows the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the successful companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people that we should be. These are the people that we want to be like them. These are our models as Muslims. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful people too. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was successful in everything he went to refer to as success. He was successful in the matters of this dunya. He was successful also in the matters of the hereafter so much that we have a confirmation that he will enter Al-Jannah even before he leaves this dunya. The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all and grant us good deeds by which we will be hopeful on the day of our death also to get into Al-Jannah. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here. I would like to extend the class for about 5 or 10 minutes so that we can accommodate one or two questions that will arise from this discussion today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen wa antum fayyazakumullahu khairan. Her husband is mother. And opportunity many of the women, wives, I'm talking about, they want to be wives and mothers. You can't be the mother of your husband. Being the mother of your husband in the Sharia, even if your husband tells you that you have another woman in Islam, that is talking about you have. If you, as a wife, you want to become the mother of your husband, you'll be talking about you have. So as a wife, the Sharia has given you rights. Then you have privileges from your husband too. The Sharia has given you rights. Don't overstep your rights. To now begin to assume the rights of a mother. You are a wife. Be a wife. Brothers, keep your wife in the position of a wife. You too, brothers, don't make your wife seem like your mother. You'll be making a big mistake to be treating your wife like your mother. Because your wife is not your mother. How does it make a sense that you treat someone who has come from a different father and mother? There was a date when you went to take for her mouth and you got brought her into your house. You had a contract and an agreement with her to live with her for the rest of life. How do you treat that person like the person who bore you in a room, in her womb for 9 months? How do you treat that woman you have gone to marry and brought to your house perhaps 20, 25 years after your life? Or 35 years after you are alive. How do you treat this woman that you only met and you had an agreement, you brought her home? How do you begin to treat her like a woman on whose blood you lived for 2 years, something happened as a little young girl? What's wrong with us? How do we judge? Brothers, do not treat your wife like your mother. Woman, don't think and behave like the mother of your husband because you are 40 years old and you cannot be. You are just the mother of your own children. You are right. And you have privileges that your husband may offer you. Remain like that. Stay where you are. Don't exceed your limits and bounds. Likewise, men, do not treat your wife like your mother. It is not love, it has another name. Maybe we can look for it when someone puts a pin in the place that it does not belong. If you place your wife in the position of a mother, you are not learning how. Just check the dictionary, you will understand the name of what you are doing. So let the men place their wives in the position of wives, and let the mothers get the position of mothers as mothers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "Man are you amongst the people? Who are you, the one that I should be most pitiful to? I should be most compassionate with? I should be most attentive to? I should pay the most attention to?" Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ummuka." On the second occasion, he said, "Ummuka." On the third occasion, "Ummuka." On the fourth occasion, he said, "Abuka." The wife of not people coming to the question here. Unfortunately, this wife is contesting attention with the mother of her husband. You are complaining to your husband that your husband is showing too much of attention to her mother. You are going beyond your house. You are asking questions that is beyond your head. But all women, don't go beyond your limits. You are aware. Remain at your life. Stay under the limits of your life. Enjoy the rights of your life. And the privileges offered to you by your husband. As your wife, remain there. So that you do not become a person who makes your husband become someone whose dream will be other than Al-Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Because by the time you begin to contest attention and care and expenses with your husband, then you run into problems. You turn your husband to the enemy of his mother. You don't love that husband if you do that for a woman. You can be claiming that you love your husband. If you make your husband become the enemy of his own mother, you are a hater of your husband, poor husband. Not these two. When your wife comes in between yourself and your mother, put that life aside. Nothing must come between you and your mother. Otherwise, you are just bringing something between yourself and your husband. You are not a better person. I think it survives as a response to that question. It's a common thing. A woman will be complaining that the husband is paying too much attention to her mother. Yes! If he gives If he does not pay so much attention to the mother, who will he pay so much attention to? I don't have to ask him to pay so much. Even mother, his father, who told him, he came down from the limbs of the father. Yes, I love this woman 3 times superior in terms of life than the father. So how about you? How do you come into the equation as a wife? How do you begin to contest attention and care between yourself and the mother of your mother? Unfortunately, many of the women who do this, they were handed over to that same mother on the day of marriage. Many women who do these kinds of things are women who have stated that marriages in which their life were handed over to the mother-in-law or to the father-in-law. She brings you to the house and then you become her enemy. Your parents have shown that you are married to her enemy. What kind of a woman is this? I think many of us, the women, we need to review what we do as Muslims. We are not able to help us. You husband, don't also push your wife to think that she is what she is not. Your wife is not your mother. Don't treat your wife like your mother. Brother, treat your mother. Don't let anything come between yourself and your mother. Your mother. We come to the hadith about the punishment that comes regarding those who become neglectful of treating their parents, their mothers, and their fathers as they should treat them. Don't allow your husband, your wife to come in between yourself and your mother. Place your wife in the position of a wife. Place your mother in the position of a mother. Regarding the position of a mother, you already know it. You've been listening to Allah that we pray all together. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah rectify our women who have the potential to do this thing. May Allah rectify them all. May Allah forgive the sins of the women who have been involved in things like this. May Allah accept their repentance and make it easy for them to repent. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today and by Yusuf.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.